Colossians chapter 2. And to get the context of it, let's start where we began in verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. All the fullness of God bodily in Him. So is Jesus God or not? Yes. Verse 10. And you, since God is completely full in Jesus Christ, you are completely full in Him, in Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him, you are also identified with Him, circumcised with a circumcision, made without hands, by the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism. And that's not dealing with water baptism. It's association with Him, with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, in which you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses, formerly in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made you alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, all of our sins taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, and we bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, let no one judge you in legalistic ways. Don't allow them to affect you in food or in drink or in regard to a festival or a new moon or to Sabbaths. You need to be doing this. It's interesting. On the eastern seaboard and even out west, there is a group that is rapidly spreading, saying that Christians need to be celebrating all of the Hebrew feasts, worshiping on Saturday, doing all kinds of things. And the Apostle Paul says very clearly here, God through Paul says here, as well as in Romans chapter 14, we're not to be doing that. But also, we're not to be legalistic concerning a number of other things with each other. Verse 17, those things are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is found in Jesus. The real substance of Christianity is found in Jesus. Verse 18, let no one cheat you. And this is where we were last week. Let no one cheat you. Be an umpire against you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, the worship of angels, intruding into those things which they've not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll complete it, verses 20 to 23, and in a few other Sundays, wrapping up the entire series. But let's bow for prayer. Lord, for our friends, the Robs and the Liggetts, we again bring them before you. God, thank you so much for answering prayer concerning Felicity, third day. Lord, we're asking that you would continue to help, whether it be through medicine or miracle or a combination of how you use human effort and your sovereign plan. Lord, we ask that you would help, but Lord, we're praying not just for the symptoms. We're praying also that we would find the cause and remedy that. Lord, also for Sister Catherine's health, as she has really been going through it, really the last 4 weeks and even beyond, but especially it seems. Lord, I pray that you would give her help, hope, health, comfort, strength, the ability to feel well, help the family as they are busy running about trying to accomplish so many things for an upcoming wedding, making it a joyous occasion when there are so many things which are hindering. Lord, I pray that you would help them as a family to maintain joy in you. Lord, also for the Robb family. They were experiencing a blessed time with the grandfather being there, coming down the aisle as part of the family, and now this. And now having to deal with settling an estate and wrapping things up there in addition to all the plans of a wedding and the mental and emotional turmoil that it takes. Lord, I pray that you would undergird them, give them strength and help. Be with the family and all the things that they have to accomplish. Give them confidence that you are going to work it out. You have got it under control, even though it seems like the hurricane is spinning out of control. Help them, Lord, and Lord, help all of us in the midst of our storms to see a bigger God who has the storm in his hand. May we not see the giants as much as we see the big God who can take care of giants. So, Lord, we pray for our friends here today, some who may be struggling with a spouse, a child, a parent, a job, a coworker, maybe even someone here, health difficulties, finance difficulties, the health of a loved one. Lord, I pray that you would help us to press pause on all the things that would distract us, and may we really focus on you and be encouraged as we get a good glimpse at Jesus today. And Father, help us flip your light switch on, illumine our minds. May we see you and may we revel in you. We ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Brains themselves, as a brain can't walk, brains cannot talk. Brains do not do any action, but brains do communicate to the other parts of the body, and the job of the body is to do and perform all of the operations, the actions, the workings, and the service that the brain tells it to do, because there is something. As the brain communicates with all of the nervous system, there is a connector, if we could call it a relay switch, microscopically. That's technically what they would not call it, but there is a type of relay switch from the nerve endings as they connect to the muscles. And as the relay switch works correctly, then the muscles begin to do everything that the brain is telling it to do. For instance, I'm telling my brain is telling my arm to be moving like this right now. And it's working with the nerve endings, and then the nerve endings, as they connect to the muscles, there's the relay switch, and the relay switch is working. But there is something within medical science called myasthenia gravis. And in myasthenia gravis, the relay switch does not work. And as a result, the brain is perfectly normal, perfectly fine, and it's sending all kinds of signals, and the nerves are fine. It's just that the relay switch at the end isn't working, therefore the muscles do not follow. It's very interesting that there are a number of other similar situations. It's not the exact same, certainly, with cerebral palsy or with Parkinson's or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, but there are a lot of similarities in which there is something that's very, very good and functional. ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease. It very functional, but something incredibly small is not working. Remember, a number of years ago, a person had Bell's palsy. If any of you have ever had that, it's only momentary for a few weeks, perhaps, but a little germ goes in and settles in and paralyzes one side of the face so that you can't even close your eyeball. You can't speak except you slobber out of the side of your mouth and there's absolutely no expression. You can't control any muscles. Something how small can intervene even though that there's a brain that is functioning and sending all kinds of signals perfectly. And it reminds me much of what Jesus has to deal with. Jesus is the perfect head, and he's sending all kinds of signals, but sometimes his body, the church, doesn't move very much. The church's relay switch, or individual's relay switches, don't work. Well, that would mean there's something wrong with the brain or with the body, but we've got a perfect brain, the head, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, there must be something wrong with the body. And here in this passage, we see the great brain. But we've been looking at difficulties with the body. Individuals, sometimes we can replace Jesus with all kinds of things. Perhaps one of the greatest difficulties that we deal with individually as well as a church. Even John MacArthur has said this, one of the greatest difficulties that he finds himself dealing with if individuals in the church is indifference. The child of apathy is always criticism. Looking around, how heartbreaking it is, constantly looking around at even the slightest little things that would not be perfect, and then developing a bad attitude and letting that spread to others that are around. The results are of that mentality, basically a consumeristic lifestyle and church involvement in an activity that really only is convenient at the time. Thomas Hardy said that he had a friend, that he went out with his friend into a beautiful meadow of flowers one afternoon, and he and the friend hadn't stepped more than 15 steps into the beautiful meadow of flowers, and the friend immediately found a pile of manure. There are some people who have an eye, they're constantly looking for manure instead of looking at the field of flowers. And the results of this is many times multifaceted, but it reminds me of what Soren Kierkegaard, and I normally quote him, but what Soren Kierkegaard said of what takes place within a church, even concerning a pastor, that many people consider a preacher or a pastor as the actor and looking for entertainment, and the people who attend are the critics, when in actuality, the actors are the people in the church, and the pastor is only the prompter behind the scenes who's giving the lines that are lost or forgotten for us all to be acting together. Part of what makes a body function well with the head is having a right high view of God, having it correct, and taking Him seriously. Unfortunately, many churches in the United States today emphasize the humanity and not God, and as a result, end up with a very human-sided religion that bases itself on psychology, self-esteem, entertainment, felt needs, and as long as people come away with the warm fuzzies, that's the most important thing that goes on. Pastor Westcott in Great Britain said years ago, quote, "Every year makes me tremble at the daring with which people speak of spiritual things." How do I make sure I have a high view of God and the right view of a head? Well, I have to have the Scripture's absolute authority. The Bible is absolutely authoritative. You want to do away and filter into the secular society's view of sexuality? Then do away with the absolute authority of Scripture. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Here in the Colossian church, they were substituting Jesus for all kinds of notions and away from the absolute authority of Jesus revealed through His word. And we saw last week two main things about this particular issue. They had religious philosophizing. They also had legalism. There was also a group that was spiritual mystics. God told me this. All kinds of spiritual mystics. And we saw that spiritual mysticism disqualifies or rules against other people. You haven't had this experience? I'm sorry, you poor benighted soul. I have. We'll still be friends, but secretly I'll be praying for you, and I'll be hoping that you can have that experience too. It says it there in verse 18. Also, secondly, we saw spiritual mysticism promotes self. And in a sixfold description of the spiritual mysticism, it says in verse 18, they delight in self-abasement, which is a type of false humility. They delight in the spirit world, see angels and demons everywhere, when we were to focus on God, not the angels and demons. They stand on their experience, thirdly. Fourthly, they inflate their self, because anytime our major focus is on something other than Jesus Christ, it's ultimately usually self-promoting. Fifthly, it is fleshly. It's what does me good. And sixthly, the biggest problem, at the beginning of verse 19, it says, and not holding fast to the head. It does not elevate Jesus. And dear friends, whenever we let go of a personal relationship with Jesus, we're going to start grasping at anything we possibly can. We cannot lose personal, individual, personal relationship, vital contact with Jesus Christ. There's no greater spiritual reality than a personal relationship with Jesus through the Bible. Make sure your head is screwed on, if I could put it that way. Have your head screwed on. And thirdly and lastly, and there's five parts of this, spiritual mysticism does not only disqualify or rule against other people and promote self. Thirdly, the biggest problem, spiritual mysticism demotes Jesus. And in verse 19, there's five descriptions of Jesus and what he is like. Let's look at it again. Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, that's number one, from whom all the body nourished, number two, and then thirdly, knit together by fourthly joints and ligaments, and then fifthly, grows with the increase that is from God. Why is Jesus and this personal relationship that's been emphasized here so important? Because of who he is. Jesus, number one, is the source of all our church's needs. Jesus is the source. He alone is the head, the boss. Now, when it says head, what does it mean? It is a title saying that he's the one who's ruling, he's the one who is in charge, just like your head is in charge of your body. I have heard that medical doctors have said it. I haven't verified this, but I have read it numerous times, that the cause of death for every individual is always the same. It is lack of oxygen to the brain, to the head that is really going there. I'd like to validate that. Perhaps some of you can help me sometime with that. I'm not necessarily sure, but it fits in well here, right? We cannot lose contact with the head. We are the body, it says there in verse 19. He is the head from whom all the body, and the body is the believers. By the way, are you a believer? We just saw demonstrated before us by Delano. He's a follower of Jesus, a believer, therefore he wants to follow him. Have you received the Lord Jesus? The Bible makes it clear that all of our sins can be forgiven. Everything we've ever done and will ever do wrong against the Lord can be taken care of. If we receive Jesus, he lived the perfect life we couldn't live. He died on the cross, the life that we deserve, the death that we deserve to pay for punishment for our sins. But he rose again. Speaking of new life, have you received him? If you haven't received him, come and receive him as your Savior. Jesus is the head, and you can be part of the body. It says in Ephesians 1:22, it was read for us today, and he, God, put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus as head over all the church. You're in Colossians. Would you turn to chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. It says there, and Jesus, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus might have the preeminence. You cannot function with your head not attached. You can't. Now, for some reason, I'm looking out here. I don't know if it was the song service or maybe you're tired staying up late last night. I'm seeing that we need something to liven us up here. Forgive this secular reference, but it's the thing that comes to my mind that would fit in right now with you cannot live without your head. It's a Weird Al song, so again, really forgive me. I had so much on my mind, I thought maybe I'd unwind, try out that new roller coaster ride, and the guide said not to stand, but that's a demand that I couldn't meet. I got on my feet and stood up instead and knocked off my head, you see. Tell me, why did I have to go and get myself decapitated? It really is a major inconvenience, so man, I really hate it. Can't eat, I can't breathe, I can't snore, I can't belch or yodel anymore, I can't spit or blow my nose or even read Sports Illustrated. You can't function without your head. Christian, you will not be able to function at all without vital attachment to the head, Jesus, in your life. Secondly, Jesus is not only the source of our church's needs, he alone is the boss, the head. Secondly, Jesus is the supply of our church's health. Jesus is the supply of our church's health. Jesus alone nourishes the body. You see it there in verse 19. Holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished. Jesus nourishes. What does that Greek word nourish mean? To help, to support, to furnish, to provide. It is literally a word that was used in the New Testament times of a leader of a chorus and a drama production. It was someone who sponsored the chorus and drama production that would travel to different cities and give this play and drama and chorus. The person who produced it would also travel with them, and he would take care of all of the expenses. He would take care of all of the costumes, all of the music, and make sure that everyone was fed. He was the benefactor. He would supply everything. That's the word in Greek. And basically, what is it saying? It says that your need individually, our church's need, it is all found and completely supplied by Jesus Christ. No matter where you go or what we do or where we are or what we are doing, Jesus is there, and it's in continuous verbal form. Jesus is continually nourishing. Now, if you're not getting nourishment, and it says that Jesus is continually nourishing, the problem isn't with Jesus. The problem must be something with us, the body that is there. It says in Ephesians 1:23, it says, we are his body, the fullness of him, and he fills us, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says that his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, right here in the Bible. Everything is found here. I think of two individuals. Their spiritual vitality gone, their energy discouraged. They're dragging their feet, but give them a couple of hours. They're on that exact same pathway, and they are bright, they are happy, and their feet are full of energy, and they are running back to Jerusalem. What made the difference? In Luke chapter 24, they met with Jesus, and the head nourished them. They sat with him, and he spoke with them, and they said in Luke chapter 24, didn't our hearts burn inside of us as he opened unto us the scriptures? And then they also had communion with him. And it says in verse 35, he was known in the breaking of the bread. Now, I want to emphasize communion, the Lord's table service. We don't have it this evening, but that is something that the Lord set up. I would encourage you to be a part of that. How can I be spiritually nourished? Friend, if you're feeling malnourished, you need to be back in your Bible with wholehearted devotion, back into prayer again, back into real worship of him, back into seeing Jesus in the Word, not looking for the criticisms or learning facts about the Bible, and back to really worshiping corporately as a church. Church grows by nutrition, not mainly by addition. The church grows mainly by nutrition, not mainly by addition. There should be no hardening of hearts here. So, Jesus, 5 points of Jesus. 5 points. 5 points about Jesus. Number one, Jesus is a source of our church's needs. He alone is the head. Jesus is the supply of our church's health. He alone nourishes. Thirdly, Jesus is the splice, if I could put it that way, of our church's unity. He alone unites the body. Look back at verse 19. Holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished, and here's the phrase, knit together. Knit together, to coalesce. And by the way, it says that Jesus is continually doing this in the verbal form there. It's not just a one time. He's constantly wanting to knit together and join here. In other words, there should be no one left out. You're in Colossians. Would you turn to chapter 2, verse 2? Colossians 2, verse 2. Colossians 2:2. Notice what it says there. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. That their hearts encouraged. How do they get encouraged? Knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can our hearts be knit together? Well, Colossians 3, verse 14, would you turn there? Colossians 3, verse 14. It says the same thing. Colossians 3, 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, there is no perfect church. We all have difficulties. We're all different. Some are prophets, some are mercy, some are servants, some are administrators, some are rulers. We all have differences. But as a football team has differences, they all have different positions, but they're all playing the same game together as an orchestra. They're not all playing the same instrument. They're not all playing the same line, but they are playing together the same piece of music, as with a choir, as with anything that gets anything done. Someone wrote concerning the perfect church, I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be, a church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way, a church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues, a church whose deacons always deek, and none are proud, and all are meek, where gossips never criticize or make complaints or peddle lies, where all are always sweet and kind, and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me, but still we'll work and pray and plan to make our church the best we can. I pray that that would be your desire as well. There should be a unity that is there. He alone unites the body. That's what we should be united around, mostly. Fellowship, it's more than just two fellows in a ship. And it's more than, it includes going fishing, it includes going golfing, it includes talking about all kinds of different things. But the main thing that's got to unite, there's got to be included in there, the relationship with Jesus Christ and meeting with Him. So, Jesus is the source of our church's needs. He alone is the head. He's the ruler. He's the boss. Jesus alone is the supply of the church's health. He alone nourishes the body. Jesus alone is the splice of the church's unity. He alone unites the body. Fourthly, Jesus is the strength of our church's service. He alone makes the body serve and function. Notice it there. It is, he mentions joints and ligaments. We're knit together by joints and ligaments. What is he talking about? Joints and ligaments. Okay, here's a head and here's a body, but the body is not going to be able to move. There's got to be movement. God doesn't want vegetables lying in a bed. He wants people who are actually moving, but how does it move? There are joints and ligaments. These are interesting Greek words, which I won't get into, but it's interesting that the Latin, when the Latin translates those two, it uses the words juncture and nexus. They are connecting fasteners so that the body can actually be moving. In Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about body life. There's the head, but there are others that are arms and hands and feet and legs and some of us less desirable. I am the hangnail on the toenail of the left foot. That's what I am. I don't know where the rest of you are on the body. Some are nice to look at. Others, like myself, please cover me up with not only a sock but also a shoe. And hopefully we can be able to function. But it mentions there in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that we are to be functioning and working together. We're not the exact same. We won't think the exact same or even function the exact same, doing the same thing. But we are to be working together toward a common goal. Last passage I'll have you turn to is in Ephesians. Just two books back. You're in Colossians, Philippians, and one book back, Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read and relate here, verses 11 through 14, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some of his gifts to the church. Some are apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Why? Why do we have the gift of a pastor teacher? So that they do the equipping of the saints, so that we all do the work of the ministry, and the result is, automatically, that the edifying of the body of Christ. How long do we keep doing that? Well, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. In other words, until we get to heaven, but also we keep trying here on this earth till we get it right. That, for this purpose, that verse 14, that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. In other words, it would spare us from false teaching. Verse 15. But also, how do we function among us? Speak the truth, but speak it in the entire atmosphere of love. The most loving thing I can do is to tell you what a moron you are. No. That may be speaking the truth, but that's certainly not speaking it in love. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up. Speaking truth in love is growing up. Not clamming up either. Not clamming up from the truth in love. Oftentimes, in disagreements among couples, one is a clammer-upper and the other one is a blower-upper. I can't clam up and I can't blow up either. I am to speak up, but in the entire atmosphere of love, and grow up into him who is the head in all things, Jesus Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying, the building up of itself in love. It's amazing. These words here are used by Aristotle and Galen. Galen, who is known as the epitome of Greek medicine. Have you ever thought about the wonders of the human body? There's these huge red lifesavers that are on the inside of the bloodstream. We call them red blood cells with a dark center. And then there's the white ones, which come and help fight off the infection. And then there are those which are necessary in every body. They're like white, hefty garbage bags filled with air and just greased. The fat cells that are there. But there's also muscle cells that are elongated and supple and stretchy and red. Muscles are necessary in a body. There's also arteries and veins. The veins and the arteries do different things, carrying the blood different directions, and they have different purposes. They're different. They're totally disagreeing, but they both function well within a body when they do their job well within the body. There are nerves and nerve cells, which are like spiders and spider webs with usually incredibly long legs, those nerve cells, which span out. They're skin cells, which are incredibly supple and bendable. There's also glands within the body and bone, which are hardened. White and hardened like bricks. You can hardly break them. All of these go together. And inside of a body, if it's getting nutrition, all of those things are going to be going well. But by the way, there are bodies that do get nutrition, that there are some things that are wrong with the body. I told it about you before. A lipoma. A lipoma is on the inside of the body in which the fat cells get rebellious. Usually, the purpose of a fat cell is whenever you need the caloric energy to do something immediately, the fat cell inside of itself, that white hefty garbage bag, will just pop and give its energy to a portion of the body that whatever it needs. But a lipoma, the fat cells rebel and they start to coalesce all together and they refuse to give up their store of energy for the rest of the body. I told you about a beggar woman in Madras, India, outside of a train station. She had attached to her neck a lipoma, which seemed to be a small child sewed entirely up in her own skin attached to her neck. But yet her arms and her legs and her face, and you could tell at her hands, she was starving to death. There are certain things within a body that will take in and 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 hardly ever give out. That will starve a body to death, even though the body's getting nutrition. Now, there's another thing that's even worse, in which they are good, healthy cells on the inside, and they become rebellious, and they decide to start eating away at itself. And they start spreading, and everything they come in contact with, they include it into it, and it begins to eat itself, and doctors fear it nothing worse. It's called cancer. And so also it can be in the body of Christ. There can be something healthy that is still going on. We're to take in, but we're also to give out for the help of the body, serving one another. Certainly there should be no cancer here. So let me ask you, are you using your God-given giftedness to serve? Maybe God made you the ligament. Again, I tell you, I'm just the hangnail on the toenail of the left foot. But hopefully I'm there to help do my part, which helps provide balance to a certain degree in some little small way. But are you using your gifts? Let me ask you, what are you doing here at Grace Baptist Church by way of service for the benefit of the body that is here? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, we need to be reaching out. What are you doing by way of service here to be benefiting the body? We are all to be helping other people. Every person is important. You may not be an upfront person. I happen to be a person who happens to be, unfortunately, maybe for all of us, in the limelight. Maybe you serve best behind the scenes. No matter what the giftedness, we all are to be serving. Now, I want to remind us of something. Just because a person in church, it doesn't make them a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car, right? Seen that bumper sticker. We want to make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us want to be hindering. We want to be serving. We don't want to be an incapacitated limb, invalid in nature, but fully functioning to the rest of the body. I sure am glad that my arms don't rebel and say, we're going to take a day off today. The rest of you, body, you're going to have to do it all on your own. We need each other. Now, it is possible to still be attached to the body and not functioning well, as it is for some Christians who deep down are out of sorts with God, but still here functioning. That is a hindrance, but also not being here is a hindrance to the body as well. We are to be serving one another. So, five things. We're on the last one, and then we'll be done. Jesus is the source of our church's needs. He alone is the head. Jesus is the supply of our church's health. He alone nourishes the body. Jesus is the splice of our church's unity. He alone unites the body. Jesus is the strength of our church's service. He alone makes the body serve. And lastly, Jesus is the spring of our church's growth. He alone increases the body. The last phrase there in verse 19. He, the body, should be growing with the increase that is from God. The word grow and increase are the exact same word in Greek, a noun form and a verb form for emphasis. A body grows. A body grows. Now, I need to explain something. It's not necessarily growing in number. We need to emphasize the growing in nutrition. As the nutrition is there, the size will naturally be reaching out. But we need to be emphasizing the nutrition that is found in the Word of God. And by the way, the verb form here is continual. Jesus is continually growing, and it's talking about spiritually growing. Let me ask you something. Are you closer to God? Have you grown spiritually now more than what you were last year? Can you tell? Is your Bible reading more meaningful to you? Is your prayer more meaningful to you or less? It is a deformity to have someone, I said on a Wednesday night a few Wednesday nights ago, in a family's home years ago, not even around here, met little Randy. Randy was 8 years of age and wasn't bigger than a 2 years old. He was lying in his crib and incapacitated as he lied there. Now, I'm not downing someone who has that. I pity the family and want to pray for them. Randy can't help it. But you can spiritually, and I can spiritually. We need to be growing. Legalism doesn't answer the questions. Philosophizing, all kinds of adding all kinds of stuff to the Bible doesn't answer it. Denying ourselves, flagellating ourselves doesn't answer it. Being a libertine, I've got my liberty. Let me do what I want to do. That doesn't answer it all. It all, this growth comes from a real relationship with Jesus. These kind of people here who substitute the real relationship with Jesus, they think and they'll talk like they're spiritual giants when really they're pygmies. They're lacking their pituitary gland. The pituitary gland at the base of the brain helps with the growth. So real growth comes from holding on to the head. But if there's no growth from nutrition, calloused hearts, small minds, weak knees, flabby muscled, thin bodied, lame limbed Christians develop, all because of losing grasp of the head. But that's an invalid. How can you be invigorated? Isaiah reinforces to us. Isaiah 35, 3 and 4. Strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them of the fearful heart, what? How could I change? Be strong. Fear not. Behold your God. How can I be strong? I attach myself onto the head even more fully in a relationship with him. Isaiah 40:31. They who wait and entwine, the word wait is entwine yourself, those who entwine themselves with the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. It's a monster, and it's a monster movie who keeps moving around without a head attached. God does not want his church to be a monster. Friends, we can't experience spiritual growth, and you can't either, by being disconnected from the head. But also, can I say this, relating the physical aspect of it, Satan knows, as with the physical body, all he has to do is get a small little germ in there, create Bell's palsy. The smallest little thing entering into the body, stopping the relay switch at the end of the nerves with the muscles, one little bit of criticism, or the list goes on. It can debilitate and destroy a body. Something as small and as thin as tissue. A Kleenex, super thin, as toilet paper. I'll say it. There's some toilet papers that's just way too thin out there. Okay, I better leave it because we've got to wrap it up. But something entering in as thin as that, a little thing, can be devastating to the body and make it not function well and hinder all of the communication of the head to the rest of the body. Christian, can I plead with you? Don't live life on your own. Be fully attached. Don't let your limbs just do what you want to be doing. Not self-pleasing and self-ordered. Live attached. Not in independence, but in dependence on Jesus and a real relationship with him. How do I do that, Aaron? Tell me how I do that. You talk about this. How do I do it? You've got to be reading your Bible. And as you read your Bible, you may not understand everything that's there. There's a lot in the Bible I don't understand. But look for Jesus there. Look for God. Two or three verses. Get something about God and then stop. Think. Jesus fed the 5,000. What does that tell me? He's compassionate. That means he has compassion on my needs. He's strong. That means he's strong enough to help me. And he's in charge. Lord, help me to trust you today that you're compassionate. You see my needs. You're strong enough to supply them and you're in charge. That little devotional right there can keep you going. And you can't just think about it. For 10 seconds, you've got to remind yourself of this big Jesus. Run to him constantly. God, help me to remember this. God, help me to remember you. You find yourself growing. You're going to find yourself with muscles. You're going to find yourself, by God's grace, able to carry heavy burdens, what seems to be effortlessly. For me to lift this piano over there, I can't do it effortlessly. We were to get Wes Donovan and Scott Crandall on it, Dorsey Munson, they can do it pretty effortlessly because they've got an abundance of strength. Friends, you can find yourself, unlike Aaron's arms, toothpick arms, you can spiritually, you can find yourself strengthened as you run to him in the Bible, run to him in prayer, run to him in worship, run to him in singing songs to him, run to him in being here and being reminded about him. Don't be disconnected. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4, 5, and 6, though, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For severed apart from me, you can do nothing. Cling and cultivate your love for Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, we would invite you to come. Make an appointment. I'd be glad to talk with you. If you're here and you're not sure about all of your sins being forgiven, come. You can know for sure. Just as we said, showing up in church doesn't make a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. But you can know you're a Christian and feel the forgiveness and know it true to you. Christian, be closely attached to the head, Jesus. Be in that Bible. Be praying. Be corporately gathered together in worship. Sing to him. Make the relationship with him real, like it's supposed to be, with your spouses. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the kind, gracious attention of your folks here today. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be people who are constantly attached to you, the head. In times like these, we need you, the Savior, you, the anchor. In times like these, we need the Bible. Father, help us to stay away from the diseases that would small though they are, they would enter in and interfere with a fully functioning system. Help us individually. Help us as a church to be this kind of individual. Lord, I pray that you would dismiss us now with your blessing. And unto you who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before your throne, to you be glory, honor, and dominion forever. And we pray these things in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.